When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is Bobby Joe Long, who was a rapist and serial killer down in Florida back in the mid-1980s.
Yes.
We're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds, but before we do, I want to introduce our panel. We have a special guest with us today, a reoccurring guest, who we refer to as the good seed, don't we, Colonel?
Yeah, the good spawn, Timmy.
Yeah, yeah. And that, of course, is Brandy's favorite brother, Mighty Casey. How you doing, Casey?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be back. I've been out working for you guys. Been doing a lot of work for Chuck lately, undercover work for Chuck. Secret stuff.
That you can't tell?
We started a new foundation. It's called the Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III. I ain't got time to mess with you motherfuckers foundation. And
perfect.
You know, we do a lot of work for him, and
he doesn't have to. Basically.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to. I mean, you know, you've not heard from Johnny Footstool in a while. Well, we took care of Johnny Footstool.
That's true. We haven't heard from Johnny Footstool.
Yeah, we're not saying that Casey had anything directly to do with that.
We're not saying, we're just saying.
We're just saying.
Yeah.
So, like, if someone would post a negative comment about, say, his erectile dysfunction.
Sure.
Okay, they disappear, basically.
Yeah, well, we're not going to say what happens. Okay. And people can donate to that foundation if they want. If they want to find us, they know where to find us.
Okay, well, welcome, Casey. I'm also joined by...
You know what Casey is, really?
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus.
Casey is the yin to the yang.
He really is.
You are a yang.
Because when you have the
Excuse me, you're not here yet. I haven't introduced you.
And I don't think we need to talk about your yang.
Yeah, we will talk. I'm sure his yang will come up throughout this podcast.
It often does.
Wang.
We're also joined by Casey's sister, the very lovely, very talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, Mistress of the Macabre, and Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm great, Timmy.
It was so nice of you to invite, you know, the nice person in your family here to come here. One of the nicest people in your family to join us.
And right now that might actually be a true statement, so...
Well, compared to you.
Well, that's hurtful.
Well...
Truth hurts.
You know, you have a lot of strengths, but being nice is...
People weren't dickholes, and I wouldn't have to be asshole.
We missed you last week.
I know. Well, I missed you guys, too.
It was not as fun. You know, we struggled without you. I'm doing the podcast.
But you made it just fine.
I would rather have gotten a root canal from the lobster boy than stayed at home last week.
You were home during spring break?
Yes.
Imagine how your children felt.
Yeah.
I don't care how my children felt. They were assholes. They were assholes.
Wonder what level to Candy Crush. Wonder what she did. Yeah, she had a week long to play Candy Crush.
How many levels did you jump in that week, devil?
You don't worry about that.
Well, as you can tell, we are also joined by...
the man who won't wait for an introduction.
The man who doesn't need an introduction. The very admirable, debonair, the face of erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
The man who made Bloody Stool a household word. They're very debonair, very talented. Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing good, Timmy. I'm doing good.
You know, you're getting a little bit hard to corral to get to do this podcast. I mean, we're chasing him down the hall and...
Well, people are chasing me down the hall all the time.
But we got a guest. Casey's here. He came in just to do this podcast. Brandy is prepared. I'm prepared. And you're out running around.
Hold on. Let me interject here real quick. Okay. I don't think there's been a podcast you guys have put out that anybody has been prepared.
We're more prepared.
So let's go ahead and start that up.
That's hurtful. Yeah.
There's some truth to
I'm
that.
Quite prepared for this podcast, Timmy.
All right. Well, at least you're here. All right, Colonel. Any shout-outs?
Well, I got some news.
Okay.
I got some news, Timmy.
All right. What's your news, Colonel?
Well, and if you've been following this election campaign, you know that the Colonel started out as a Republican.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to bring the country together.
Right.
I was going to make America mediocre still. Yeah. I was going to keep America mediocre.
You're just going for maintaining, right?
Yeah, just maintaining.
Yeah.
And, but it got so ugly. It got so nasty with the whole Trump, Cruz, Hillary, Bernie thing. I mean, it was all coming after me. They was ganging up on me.
Yeah, and you know what I noticed that.
America doesn't deserve the Colonel, Timmy.
Are you going to leave?
I'm not going to leave.
Oh.
I don't know how long I can do these podcasts because I'm embarking on a new career, Timmy.
Well, what would that be, Colonel?
And this came about because of the jokes that were made about the Colonel's literal general. And my wife...
You're a tallywhacker, in other words.
My
Yang.
Yeah.
My Yang. My...
Wang.
My trouser snake. And anyway, I asked my wife. I said, you know, why they say that? And she said, I don't know. I got no idea. Hell, you could be a porn star if you wanted to. And I thought... That's a road the Colonel hasn't traveled.
So you're going into porn. Is that what you're telling us?
The Colonel is going into porn.
Are you
going
to be gay for pay?
Gay porn.
It's going to be straight porn.
Gay midget
porn. Gay midget porn.
If you have any ideas for... The Colonel just got a couple
ideas. We do have
ideas.
Gay midget porn.
No. The Colonel's got a couple ideas for some names.
It's like, I bet he's doing that old man, young girl porn.
Well, he'd have to at this point in his life.
Yeah, unless he's doing granny porn.
Look, I've had some studios already call me, all right? I got feelers out.
You have feelers.
So if we have...
Do you have a name?
Trying to come up with a name, and anything I could get, any help I could get, you know, I think I'm going to go with Tommy Salami.
But Dickopolis?
Buck Naked.
Well, and for my
wild.
But I'm worried about this one because I don't want people to think I'm like an ISIS.
Uh-huh.
Mini Mike.
But I was going to do
Crime Chuck.
Crime Chuck. I was going to do Saddam Hussein.
20% fat in Prime Chuck.
Okay, you keep working.
But now I'm older.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more distinguished.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about getting an older, more distinguished type name, and George Pooney. What do you think about that?
George
Pooney.
Pooney?
I think could go with Bloody Stool.
Yeah, Bloody Stool would stand out.
And
Natalie,
it really
you remember the Smokey and the Bandit movies?
Yeah,
yes.
I was thinking about Squirt Reynolds. What do you think?
All right, you keep working on that, Colonel. And while you're doing that, do you have any shout-outs?
We have the history page, the podcast page, right?
History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook page, group.
If any listeners has any better ideas for the Colonel porn name, mm-hmm. We encourage you to post them.
God.
I do have some shout-outs.
All right.
Of course,
Weenie Mandela,
Lady Beverly,
Weenie Mandela, Weenie the Pooh,
Weenie the Pooh. Yeah, that's good.
We could do Weenie the Pooh too because he's gotten chunky.
Yeah, Weenie the Pooh.
He could walk around going, "There's a rumbly in my tumbly."
That would be good for him. You gotta admit, that's pretty good.
Only if you walk off the premise that I've
gotten
chunky.
And then you get stuck. And then you get stuck in the honey tree.
I got stuck in the honey hole.
I mean, he had a salad for lunch. I don't know why y'all are cracking up.
Because I ordered it.
Stuck in the salad.
You got stuck in the honey pot.
I've been stuck in the honey tree before.
Yeah. See?
All right.
Let me do my shout
out. Who has many misadventures?
Yeah. Let me first say, Brittany, you were right. The ending of The Walking Dead made me want to throw my goddamn remote through the TV window.
Yeah. I told you.
So, and Lady Beverly, of course, we hope you're doing well. And Sully is doing really, really well. We got, and Timmy, we had a defection, but it's a secret defection.
Okay.
I got a message from a listener who's active on the page, Kim Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Sweet, mm-hmm. Very sweet girl, very pretty redheaded girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the redhead's real, but I guess whatever color your hair is, it's real at the time.
Very attractive girl. Woman.
She sent me a message and said, look, I want to be on secretly on Team Colonel.
Yeah. So she's ashamed of it, basically, is what she's saying.
No, she doesn't want to be on Team Brandy because she's got those girls, Tara and Mary. And,
Mary Wright.
Yeah, and she realizes that those are evil people. They're bad people.
She's got to do it secretly so she doesn't get a spell cast on her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I want to be on Team Colonel, but I'm afraid that the devil going to make a little voodoo doll of me.
Well, yeah.
So I told her she's going to be a double secret agent to me. She's going to pretend to be on Team Brandy, but gather information for Team Colonel.
You know what you just did there, though? You just kind of gave it away.
Yeah,
so
you outed her.
Yeah, she's out.
Yeah.
Or maybe
you're just...
Then she goes back to your team and...
No, we.
Or maybe you're just rambling.
We'll contact her through our foundation.
No, yeah. Minnie the Pooh.
She's going to be on a foundation.
Okay, any other shout outs before we move along?
And the lovely Dottie Scott.
Thank you.
Timmy has yet to kill.
We also want to give a shout out to Mary Ray.
But evidently stays hopeful.
To Elise, to Rebecca, to Trixie. And the shout out of the day goes to
John Cunningham.
John Cunningham for correctly guessing the topic of this week's podcast. So if you'd like to join us, check out the History Dweebs, the podcast group page on Facebook. We've got a lot of cool folks there, and we sit around and talk about nothing, actually, but it's a lot of fun. Okay, so let's get started.
It keeps Timmy off the ledge.
It does. It really does. Well, keeps me, yeah. Okay.
I wanted to, and can I just say just one thing before we go on here? I was thinking about a Star Wars theme for the porn name.
Star Wars.
Okay.
Well, and I got Luke Thighwalker.
Yeah.
Obi, come on, bone me.
No, it doesn't roll.
Okay.
C-3P blow.
C-3P, oh my God.
R2 do me.
D-cup.
R2 do me.
Colonel.
Beat up.
Wait, hold off on your suggestions until Brandy's talking and interrupting.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
It's funnier that way. And I don't get annoyed. Okay, so we're going to talk about Bobby Joe Long. And as I said, Bobby Joe Long was a serial rapist and murderer who terrorized Florida back in the mid-1980s. Starting in 1981, he became known as the classified ad killer because he would answer classified ads, and if he found a woman alone, not personal ads, but like people with things to sell.
Like the Craigslist person.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, there's so many of those Craigslist killers and classified ad killers and Lonely Hearts killers that I wish they gave him a better name, but, you know, you get stuck with the name. But a lot of his murders did not have anything to do with these classified ads. It's just that a lot of his rapes did. He raped over 50 women in his career. I guess it's a career, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I bet he got a watch when he was done.
I don't think they put that on your resume.
No, you probably don't want to do that. In this capacity, as I said, he raped at least 50 women, and then he graduated on to murder. He would, but a lot of his victims were prostitutes. He'd pick up in seedy bars and down in the Tampa area in southern Florida. He would bound his victims with ropes and He would kill him by a different means, but it would always be a sadistic murder, rape, and he just brutalized. Most of his victims were strangled, or he'd slit their throats, or he bludgeoned them to death. So he was very versatile. The bodies were that he left were placed in unique positions, usually something pornographic, like they had their legs spread apart or some, you know, they'd be in weird positions. Of the 10 known victims, 5 were identified as prostitutes, 2 as exotic dancers, 1 as a factory worker, 1 as a student, and the other occupation was unknown.
They were anomalies, because you know what I've discovered? It's hard to be a prostitute in Florida.
It really is. It's a dangerous occupation.
It's a dangerous occupation.
Yeah, it really is.
And you know, you ever notice that the people in Florida, and this is no offense to our friends in Florida, but they always lose the kids.
Well, here's what
I notice when there's a kid missing. It's always some woman in a trailer park in Florida who says, got a cigarette hanging from her mouth, and she's like on the news, like, I want my goddamn kid back. You ever notice that?
I really haven't noticed that.
It happens all the time. Every time a kid falls in a well, every time a kid goes missing.
What's another name?
Huh?
What's another name?
I'm going with Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
That was it. Okay, let's get back to Bobby Joe Long. Okay, so Bobby Joe Long, Robert Joe Long, he had a pretty screwed up childhood. Robert Joe Long was born on October 14th, 1953, in Canova, West Virginia. So he's from West Virginia.
Enough said.
And he was the son of Joe and Loretta Long. Now, poor Bobby had an extra X chromosome when he was born. And you know what happened to him, Colonel, when he grew older?
He had that chromosome?
Yeah.
I bet he got his own titties.
He grew breasts as a teenager.
Now think about this.
No comic material there.
No, man.
If I would have grown my own breasts when I was a teenager, you would have never seen me leave the house, Timmy.
You wouldn't have time to kill anybody.
I wouldn't have been raping. I wouldn't have been pillaging. I wouldn't have been doing nothing.
You don't have to rape anybody. You got titties right there.
Yeah.
You had been a happy man. But apparently, Bobby Joe wasn't too thrilled about it because he got teased relentlessly in school. When he was 2 years old,
Titty Joe Long.
A bro.
They called him Titty Joe Long.
A bro.
Did he have to buy a bro?
He had to buy a bro.
A man's ear. A
man's ear.
Yes.
When he was 2 years old in 1955, his parents divorced. Apparently, his dad said, I am not going to have no kid of mine with no boobies. And
Did he really say that?
No, he really didn't. I'm making that up. But him and his mom moved to Florida. So, Long's mom was a single mom. I mean, yeah, she became a single mother, and she was worked as a waitress. And
in a hotel bar?
No, she worked at a waitress, but she began to pick up
a cocktail bar?
I'll get to this. He had a dysfunctional relationship with his mother because they moved in with some relatives of hers when he was a teenager, and there wasn't a lot of room, so he started sleeping with his mom. He had to sleep with his mom for years. So he resented when she brought boyfriends
home. That's what happened to Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, apparently it had an effect on this
guy. She must have been bisexual because he had boobies.
I don't think they had sex, but they shared a bed together.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot happening.
There's a lot of dysfunction in that relationship.
He actually had his breasts removed. He had some surgery to have his breasts removed, but they were still...
That was dumb.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid bastard.
Yeah, you know, you think of all the women in around the world who just are praying for a larger breast, and here he is just throwing them away. Sort of like Punky Brewster. Well, she had a... breast reduction.
With a girl on Modern Family.
I'm thinking about getting a penis reduction surgery.
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, I'm worried because my knees.
Hmm?
It bangs up against my knees and it's just causing I have to have a knee replacement.
Well,
you have to look out for your long term.
All you got to do is use a little.
You know about tape. This problem, is that what you're saying?
Well, you get a little duct tape, Timmy. It's like a holster. You know how the gunslingers in the West used to. Just strap it to the side of their leg,
No, I didn't know that.
I just want him to hold the load, Timmy.
I don't think I'd want to use duct tape, though.
Yeah, it might hurt.
Rip off.
Yeah. All right, anyway, back to Bobby.
Kinky part.
Bobby suffered multiple head injuries as a child. In 1957, when he was 4 years old, he almost drowned at the beach but was pulled under the water by a wave. He later blamed his mother for the incident, claiming that she was looking at men instead of watching him. What's funny about that?
He was this son of a bitch 4 years old and he holding a grudge already?
Yeah, no, later. I think
his mother's a whore.
He became real resentful of his mother, and that's probably why he's had
Wasn't resentful when he was feeling up in the bed at night.
No. She started bringing men home, though, and then he had to, like, sleep on the floor, and why they did the nasty, I guess.
That'd make you mad.
Yeah, and sore. Your back would be sore after doing that.
Yes.
Whose back? His, hers.
But anyway, later that year, 1957, he fell from a swing and was knocked unconscious with a head injury.
This fucker can't go across the street.
His eyelid was punctured by a stick.
You know what that reminds me of, though? Remember Timmy talking about crossing the street or whatever? And Timmy was crossing the street shuffling, because every day he's shuffling.
His feet don't even leave the ground.
And he was walking across the street.
His own hovercraft.
And he got hit by a car. He got hit by a rearview mirror on a car.
I did. A long time ago.
And but my question is, why was your head that low?
I wasn't watching. I got hit.
Did you
see? Clearly you weren't watching because you were looking down.
Did you see the car coming in?
The size of your mirror, did you?
No, I just heard the brakes.
Tried to go underneath it.
I just heard the brakes. The only thing I heard.
The side view mirror hit you.
And the thing was, I watched.
And knocked you out.
The thing is, I watched the movie Ghost the night before, and I jumped up real quick, and I thought, oh shit, I'm going to look down and see my dead body. But I was alive. Just didn't want to spoil the ending for you. But.
Yeah. Well,
back to Bobby Joe.
Yeah.
In 1950. You got another name there, Colonel?
Don't get to make fun of Bobby.
Got another name?
Well, I was thinking about something presidential.
Uh-huh.
Woodrow Wacker.
What?
No. In 1958, Bobby's mother took several trips back to West Virginia, where she visited his father. So they started dating again. Bobby did not like this because he wanted to be the man in the house, and he would throw tantrums when his father was around. In 1959, Bobby failed the first grade in Miami. In 1960, at the age of 7, Bobby was thrown from a bicycle into a parked car.
Of course he was.
Injuries included the loss of several teeth and a severe concussion.
So he pretty much full-blown retard at this point.
Well, I don't know about his inner...
You can't get hit in the head that many times
capacity.
And be okay.
You have.
Yeah, she's got a point.
Well, yeah.
So in 1960, Bobby's parents remarried. He was very upset at this because he wanted his mom all to himself.
Well, of course he did.
He should have kept his babies.
He did pass.
Then he could have his dad all to himself.
Yeah. He did pass the first grade on the second attempt.
Yes.
Good job, Bobby.
At first, you don't succeed.
Bobby. No team.
And then the whole family, that was in Florida, and then the whole family reunited in West Virginia. Now, in the spring of 1961.
Families do tend to reunite and unite in West Virginia.
In the spring of 1961.
Over and over again.
Over and over again, yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't feel so good.
In the spring of 1961, Bobby was hit by a car.
Did nobody teach this some bitch how to cross the road or nothing?
What is this, Ray Charles, motherfucker?
He hit his face on the car bumper and knocked him unconscious. He was hospitalized for several weeks in West Virginia as a result of these injuries. In the same year, Bobby nearly died when he darted in front of a car.
Does he not realize that they move?
It's Darwinism, I think.
The car knocked him 15 feet in the air. He badly injured his teeth and left him with a deformed jaw.
So he not only fucked up the grill of the car, he fucked up his own grill, too.
These cars are coming out of nowhere hitting me. Goddamn.
You can't swing.
They tend to be in the road, you know?
You can't swing a dead cat without getting hit
without
by a
hitting
car.
Without the car.
Also in 1961, he fell from a pony. and landed on his head, leaving him dizzy and nauseous for several weeks.
This is a motherfucker growing up to be a stump man.
At the age of 9...
Not a good one.
Tell me he gets hit by another car.
No. At the age of 9...
He gets hit by a train.
In 1962, Bobby fell from a fence and it required several stitches to the left side of his head. In 1963...
That boy's head like whack-a-mole. Just
yeah, you would think it wouldn't even hurt at this point, you know? In 1963... Craig had some good drugs. 1963, his parents' marriage failed again, sad to say.
He needs a safer.
So he moved back to...
bubble wrap.
They moved back to Florida with his mom and in a crowded house with his aunts, and he started sharing his bed again with his mom. He struggled in school. I know it's hard to believe.
Shocking.
No.
He was often teased by other students because of his deformed jaw and teeth. It was around this time that his mother began to work two jobs as a waitress and a bartender. Now, Bobby felt neglected, and he was very resentful of his mother wearing sexy clothing to the bar where she worked.
He is Norman Bates.
But he did like her to wear the sexy lingerie when he slept with her.
Yeah, and she came to bed.
Bobby became verbally abusive to his mother around this time when he was 12. She began bringing men home every night. As I mentioned, he would sleep on the bedroom floor while she entertained her visitors. Around this time, Bobby shot the family dog in the vagina. That is not funny.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
You made that up.
No. You did not.
He shot the vagina
and killed it. This goes with the narrative, I think, of...
If you shoot
hating
women, vagina...
Hating women.
I shot the shepherd.
That's not funny, man.
He shot her in the vagina.
He shot the dog.
Was he trying to assault her?
I think it's, you know, indicative of his anger toward women. You know, I'm guessing.
It ain't easy to find a dog vagina either, I guess, is it?
You gotta lift the legs up.
There has to be some cooperation, I would think.
Well, so you're saying the dog...
Don't blame the victim.
Dog has one.
No.
The dog was just prancing around with his tail.
Prancing around, had a short skirt on.
he claimed he shot the dog because he resented his mother feeding the dog filet mignon while he was eating hamburger.
That will piss you off.
That will piss me off.
If I was getting hamburger, my dog was getting filet mignon.
What kind of steak?
Filet mignon.
Okay.
Thank you. Bobby was when he was 13. That was in 1966. He met his girlfriend.
At 12 years old, he already a cooter shooter.
Yeah.
That's your next video.
That's my next video.
That's the next video.
The Colonel
in cooter shooter.
That could be a name too. He met the love of his life, Cynthia, who he would later marry. I'm sure she was a winner. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure she's a nice boy.
Well, she was a cousin. I mean, so...
He confided in her, sharing...
Does she know how to walk across the street without getting hit by a car?
You know what? I actually seen this lady interviewed, and she seemed really nice, so I don't want to make fun of her, but she, you know... they had this real long relationship. She was very protective of him. He confided in...
Somebody had to protect this motherfucker. Otherwise, he would have never made it to 18.
Otherwise, it's like Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles on a road trip.
He confided in her and shared that his mother embarrassed him by wearing revealing outfits and shamed him by bringing home different men every night. So, you know, he had issues with that.
So, I got a quick question. Casey, did the devil ever embarrass you by... the kind of outfits she wore and the men she would bring home and, I mean, dancing on the pole and whatnot?
Well, I never went and watched her dance at the pole. When she was working at the Brass Hat, it embarrassed me that she did it, but I didn't go watch. Okay. That'd be sick.
In her college softball lesbian days, was that a problem with the family?
It was hush-hush.
Don't ask, don't tell?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay. Just kidding.
Yeah, living in denial. Okay.
That's how we do in our family.
Keep everything way down low.
That's the best way sometimes. So around 13, he was a little girlfriend Cynthia. Around 13, he began sleeping in a separate bed from his mother. So
there you go.
Yeah, so
go team.
But at the same age is when he started developing breasts. He had surgery.
So he didn't need his mama no more. He could just play with his own breasts.
That's why he went to his own room.
It apparently caused him quite a heartache to be to grow breasts. He had to have them removed for a painful surgery. He had the excess breast tissue removed. But his classmates teased him relentlessly about having breasts. Yeah, I imagine.
They were just jealous.
Bobby lost his virginity at age...
I had my own pair of breasts.
He lost his virginity at age 14 to Cynthia, girlfriend. In 1967...
How old was you when you lost your virginity, Timmy?
I don't want to say. In 1967... Unless we're all going to if we're all going to confess...
Come on, Deb. Let us know.
What?
Come on, let us know. Fess up. Come on.
I'm not going first.
I think I was 16, if I remember right.
I was 15.
Right. I was
Casey?
15.
17.
12? 15.
12, 13.
All right.
And she got a Milky Way?
No.
Of course, the dude was 64, but...
No, he wasn't.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
We're not judging you.
You of all people are not judged.
The dude was 64 and paid her $200.
We're not judging
you. Well, yeah, he was waiting for that first Social Security check to come in.
You of all people will not judge.
I'm just saying, some people frown upon the age difference is all I'm saying.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
What is an acceptable age difference?
After 25, it's...
Game on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about high school girls. No, I get older and they stay the same age.
So people like me and you, what's our limit? Well, you're older than me.
I'm only a year older than you.
No, how old are you now?
I'll be 55.
I'm only 52.
Right. So I'm 3 years older than you.
Oh my God, you guys are so old. Ah.
Anyway. I don't know. What age are you comfortable with, girl?
How old are you?
I'm trying to get guidance.
I know you are, and I'm turning the table.
Well, and you guys better hurry because you're both eventually going to, your penises will shrink and you'll basically have vaginas and become women.
He already has the ED, so doesn't matter.
So you're basically a woman now.
It's all.
I'm going to be a Viagra spokesman.
It's all hypothetical.
I got me two.
Extends.
I got me two
hypothetical. Hypothetical.
I got me two.
Hypothetical with an O.
Hypothetical.
Yeah.
Hypodermic.
All right.
I got me two bathtubs in my backyard. I'm going to be the Cialis spokesman.
You got your two bathtubs in your backyard.
I think that's so stupid. Yeah, you know the commercial.
Bathtubs.
Yeah, bathtubs.
That's what he said.
Yes, that's what he said.
Bath thumbs.
All right.
Bath thumbs?
I don't know where the hell I'm at. Okay.
Oh, it's different when
he lost his virginity.
Okay.
Yeah, 14.
He lost his virginity at 14. So, hey, he's a bigger slut.
And he fell off her and got a concussion.
He's a bigger slut than me and Chuck and Casey.
Yeah.
Combined.
Not the devil, though.
Yeah. In 1967, at the age of 15, he was accused of stealing a car. The trial was his first run-in with the law. The charges were eventually dropped. In 1970,
he tried to steal it, or he got hit by it.
I don't know. Maybe both. In 1970, at the age of 17, he was arrested for receiving stolen property. These charges were also eventually dropped. He got in a lot of trouble. In 1970, he dropped out of school twice in the 10th grade. It was this time that he started to grow apart from his mother and began displaying violent tendencies toward her. In 1971, when he turned 18, he was accused of raping a girl, but was released when police determined the victim was lying. There was a lack of evidence. And also, in 1971, he re-enrolled in the 10th grade and was eventually expelled. So he dropped out twice, and he was expelled once.
And I don't think they let you in. That was a stellar year. 25.
That was a stellar year for him in the 10th grade. In the spring of that year, Bobby received 7 motor vehicle tickets in a single day in separate incidents. I don't know if he was driving or he was just getting hit by cars.
Right.
But
he was found to be at fault.
At fault in 7 different motor vehicle tickets and separate incidents in one day. At the age of 19, he enlisted in the Army because we need good men like him in the Army.
Yes.
To be an electrician's assistant. He was stationed at Homestead Air Force Base in Homestead, Florida, near Miami. It was here in the Army that he earned his GED, so good for him.
There you go.
In January of 1974, he married his long-term girlfriend, Cynthia, but the honeymoon did not last long. 1 month later, Bobby was seriously injured in his motor when his motorcycle collided with a moving car.
Does he not realize that they move?
He spent several months in the hospital, and he had experienced a serious blow. He spent several months in the hospital as he had experienced a serious blow to the head,
yeah.
Injury to his shoulder, and serious damage to his legs.
Again.
Right.
Now, the doctors considered amputating
his head?
No, his head. At the neck?
His leg, but they decided against it. And this probably should have went for that.
This could be another one of those podcasts where we do a drinking game, Timmy. Every time this retard motherfucker gets hit in the head, somebody got to take a drink.
Take a shot.
It took its toll on him. While in the hospital,
it did.
After this incident, though, something clicked in him. While in the hospital, his sex drive increased dramatically.
It was those nurses and the boobies.
He requested frequent sex from Cynthia every time she visited the hospital. And the hospital nurses noted that he masturbated 5 to 6 times a day.
They noted it?
Yeah, they noted it in his chart.
Is that excessive?
Is that excessive?
Is that a lot?
I don't know.
Okay.
Apparently.
Says you. Yeah.
In 1974, he was discharged from the Army for medical reasons resulting from the accident.
Excessive masturbation.
He had unemployment left him with a lot of time on his hands.
Standing guard.
And a lot of lotion.
So this is where he devised a plan to meet women through classified ads. In 1976, Cynthia gave birth to their first child, a son, chip off the old block. And Bobby began attending community college. Things started to sour in the marriage. He's become verbally and physically abusive to Cynthia. And he was arrested in 1976 for assault and battery against Cynthia. The couple tried to work things out, and they had a second child. However, the physical abuse continued, and Cynthia finally filed for divorce in 1980. Without Cynthia, Bobby kind of lost it. He moved around the country, including brief periods of time with his parents in West Virginia. He finally relocated to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, got a job as an X-ray technician. I moved in with a girlfriend, not a girlfriend, but a friend who was just, you know, a girl who was just a friend of his, so they could share rent expenses. But this arrangement did not last long because he tried to rape her.
I was going to say, I bet he tried
that's
to rape
a button. Well,
that's a deal killer.
It's a deal breaker.
Yeah, you get your security deposit back when you try to.
It's one thing.
They're going to be on a people's court, man.
To put the empty milk carton back when you're a roommate. But when you try to rape somebody, because there ain't nothing worse than being in the middle. You know, you're sleeping. You got things poking at you. And,
this should be.
It's called marriage.
Probably should have had a no-rape clause in that lease.
If there was
in the roommate agreement.
Clearly
no roommate agreement.
Yeah. So, that did not go well.
I can deal with his dirty dishes, but he tried to rape me. He had to go.
The police determined evidence to be insufficient for prosecution, so he didn't get.
I'll tell you what, those were the days to be a rapist, really.
Yeah, they just...
I mean, they didn't have all the DNA swabbing.
Yeah, and plus, I think there was a... Probably some, probably blame the victim a lot.
Well, back then, if you didn't have bruises on your face and whatnot, you didn't get, they was like, you didn't resist enough.
2 weeks later, after that incident, Susan, Abbas's roommate, claimed that they had a physical confrontation, and she claimed that he pushed her down a flight of stairs.
Pushed her.
In October of 1981, Susan filed a misdemeanor battery charge against him. He pleaded no contest and was he was also charged for that and also for sending obscene material to a 12-year-old Tampa girl.
Yes.
That the evidence traced, the police were able to trace the evidence back to his house and to his phone. I guess he called her too. So Bobby decided it was time to, get out of Florida. So he moved back to West Virginia for a while. Then he went out to California for a while. Got a job out in California as an X-ray technician at the Huntington Veterans Administration. He was described as a polite and a very good worker. However, he was fired 2 months later for making women patients undress needlessly.
There you go.
I guess he's going to take an X-ray of her wrist and
take off your panties.
Take off your underwear.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You got carpal tunnel.
So Bobby then moved back to Florida, where he stood. Yeah, he faced the charges of assault and battery, and with his former roommate, and also for sending the naked pictures to the 12-year-old. Both charges were eventually dropped. So this guy, man, he never has to suffer any consequences. On March the 6th, 1984, he committed his first premeditated rape, where he selected a woman, a victim from a newspaper ad. A woman in Newport Richley, Florida. She had an ad where she was selling her house, and he came over to look at it, and then she was alone, and he raped her, which I understand by realtors and stuff. That's a threat. I mean, that's something that they deal with on a daily basis. This was just one of 50 rapes that Long was suspected of committing.
50 rapes?
Yeah, committed during his rape.
He was jacking off every half hour.
I know. How was he going to rape anybody?
Well,
this son of a bitch must have been able to get it hard every 10 minutes.
Must have been. It
takes me a good 15 between.
So then he graduated to MUDA.
So on March 27th, 1984, he committed his first murder. It was a 20-year-old prostitute named Artis Wick. And he picked her up in Tampa, but strangled.
What a name is Artis. I mean, I don't pick on the victim.
That's actually my stepdad's name.
But it's usually a man's name, right?
Okay. But he strangled her after he was unsatisfied with the rape. The rape just wasn't quite up to par for him.
So he was pissed off.
So he strangled her.
I would bet her heart just wasn't in it.
I bet it was.
She was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
She was faking it.
She was faking it. Yeah.
It's not paying for that.
Maybe she didn't fight him, and he wanted someone that's going to fight. I mean,
I don't know.
Hard to say, but it didn't turn out well.
In April of '84, he abducted Mary Hicks at gunpoint as she drove in her Jaguar.
Deppel, what do you think about this one?
What?
Darth Invader.
I like that.
Only if you do the voice, too.
I am your
That's
father,
not it. You have to get it like a voice changer.
No, you gotta say, call me daddy.
Call me daddy, devil.
There you go. Let's see. She escaped. Hicks escaped by deliberately crashing the car and fleeing from him. So, yet again, he's been in another car crash.
Yeah.
He would later be forced to only pay damages on the vehicle plus serve 3 years probation.
See, he gets out of... he abducts this woman, carjacks... They take off, he's kidnapped her basically, and he gets three years probation.
In May of '84, Bobby raped and murdered Jin Tai Long.
Vietnamese dancer. Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Anytime you rape the Vietnamese women, you're horny an hour later.
Oh my God. Okay, so the victim was a 20-year-old Asian woman who had recently quit her job as an exotic dancer.
She was turning her life around.
They always are.
Yeah.
She's probably starting school.
She probably was. She's working on her doctorate.
Yeah.
Medical school.
Yeah. She was walking home, and Long drove up beside her. Why this son of a bitch has a car? Long drove up beside her and offered her a ride, which she accepted. He then drove her to a wooded area, ordered her to remove her clothes, and tied her hands behind her back before forcing her to lie face down on the seat. He raped her, then removed her from the car and assaulted her with a series of punches until she became powerless. He then strangled her to death with a piece of rope and left the body at the scene. The nude corpse was left with the legs spread very wide open.
Yeah, that's what he did with all of his victims. He would have them in these obscene... He would leave them in these obscene positions.
thinking about one where I have a character that steals from the rich and gives to the poor.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to call it Throbin Wood.
Throbin Wood. I like that.
I would think that the character out of there for you would be Little John. But that's all right.
That's a good point.
Hey, that would be more your
sport. If I had a sports theme, it would just be Magic Johnson.
Go ahead.
You can have it. On May 27th of 84, so still in May of 84, the body of 2-year-old Michelle Sims was discovered. She was a coke-headed prostitute.
That's pretty harsh for you to say that.
Yeah.
I'm making a judgment. It's written here.
I mean, we don't say that stuff about you.
Yeah.
She was a coke-headed prostitute who had accepted a job with Long as she walked along Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. Long repeated his pattern of forcing the victims to undress before tying her hands behind her back. Long drove her to Lover's Lane, raped her in the car, and then attempted to strangle her outside the vehicle.
That don't sound very loving to me.
Well, Sims then put up a fight, and he grabbed a knife and slashed her throat several times. The corpse was found with the rope still around the cut neck lying on the ground, and her bloody clothes were found hanging from a nearby tree. Jeez. Also found at the scene were red fibers, human hair, a bare footprint, tire tracks, and spooge.
Yeah, the spooge.
Spooge.
Man.
What about
some crazy DNA everywhere?
You know, like, clean up after yourself.
Common courtesy.
Don't go spunking all over the place, not cleaning up.
Here we go, Timmy.
Be spunk, Nick.
Spunk.
You can be spunk, Nick.
Indiana Bona and the Temple of the Womb.
The Temple of Poon.
The Temple of Poon.
The Temple of Poon.
Indiana Bona and the Temple of Poon.
No, I don't like that one.
The recurring thing in these
Spunk Nick
is they keep finding red fiber. So.
Is that from his car? Yeah. Or is that part of his brain leaking out?
Well, let her read it.
You know, please. I can just imagine this guy's like the character from the frog in Frogger, just like trying to cross the road.
I know.
Level one.
He's like Scooter. During the early summer of 84, classified ad rapes and robberies continued in the Pinellas County area.
You just could not put an ad in the paper without taking one in the pop-up.
Well, you know, yeah.
At least he wasn't shooting them in the vagina.
No, I guess that's...
Well, I guess he was, so to speak, but...
On June 8th of 84, Bobby Joe murdered 22-year-old Elizabeth Loudenbach. The victim accepted a ride from Long when walking home to her Tampa home in the late afternoon. After driving a while, Long tied her up and raped her at gunpoint. He then drove her to an orange grove in Brandon, Florida, and savagely sodomized the victim. He then decided to untie her and told her to put her clothes back on and return to the car. What the hell? Long later told police that he decided to strangle her with a rope only after listening to her incessant crying. Bitch kept crying.
Bitch would not shut up.
She kept crying, so he strangled her. He's a peach.
He is a peach.
He then threw her body in the shrubs. After killing her, he found her ATM card along with the PIN number in her wallet.
See, you never put
never
your
never put them together. No. Never put. See, these people, it's almost like you're asking for it.
Well, no, I guess at that point she was deceased, so it probably didn't matter. But still, listeners, never put your PIN number with your card.
Or you get raped, killed, and thrown in the shrubs.
Or at least you get ripped off.
Yeah.
What do you think about a rock theme? Squirt Cobain.
You like it? Go ahead, Brandon.
For the listeners out there right now, I wish you could see the devil's face.
What do you think about Oliver Holmes?
Oliver Holmes.
Oliver Holmes. Like Oliver.
No, I got it.
It's a play on words.
I got it.
It's a play on words.
I got it.
Okay.
It wasn't good, but I got it.
Okay.
I'm afraid what else I'm going to get if I keep sitting close to you. Let's see. He used the bank card to withdraw cash from her account at several banks over the next couple of hours. On June 18th,
I hope she had a limit.
Probably had a $200 limit.
Yeah, I hope so.
At this time, let's see.
Yeah, but he did it every 5 hours.
On June 18th, they found Elizabeth Loudenbach's body badly decomposed. The corpse only weighed 25 pounds and was found fully clothed with the rope still around its neck. Harry Twatter, really.
How about Harry Twatter and a Colonel Stone?
What about Spankenstein? Let's just put that one out
there.
There
we go. Spankenstein. There. Listeners, remember, put your suggestions up on the podcast page.
Yeah, oh, please. That's wonderful. All right, so they found Elizabeth Loudenbeck's body. Around this time, Long went on an overnight visit to see his kids. The children lived with his ex-wife in Hollywood, Florida. And Long began a new job at Tampa General Hospital.
How's these hospitals keep hiring a guy?
The job would only last a couple of months before Long was fired for failing to earn advanced X-ray certification. People from the hospital said Long talked about sex all the time and didn't react well to his female supervisors. On July 17th of 84, Long was sentenced for the attempted abduction of Mary Hicks. He was only charged $1,500 for the damage to her Jaguar, plus 3 years probation. So, he's given probation and damages. Stupid.
What about Johnny Depp?
Yeah, I like him.
Johnny Depp.
I think you really need to go with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Just straight out the gate.
See, not all of our listeners are Chocolate Factory women like you are, Devil.
Let's see. On September 7th...
Brittany is.
Well, on September 7th, 1984...
Velveeta cheese.
What'd you call it?
Velveeta cheese.
Gross. What the hell? All right, so 21-year-old Vicki Elliott was reported missing by her employer when she failed to report to her job at the Ramada Inn coffee shop. When searching,
well, she had a good job.
She did. When searching her apartment, police discovered an airline ticket for an upcoming trip to visit her parents. The police determined that her disappearance was not intentional.
Now, if I want to do some Wolverine or Broadway, I'd be Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. You have somebody get you down off a horse.
Jeez.
On September 30th, 1984, he raped and murdered 18-year-old Chanel Devon Williams. Again, the victim was a hooker who was picked up by Long as she was walking home late in the evening. He beat her, forced her to undress, tied her hands behind her back, forced her to lie face down on the reclined front seat of his car, and then he beat her again. Long drove toward Morris Bridge Road and stopped his car near the entrance road to a cattle ranch. He raped Chanel from behind while she was still on the front seat. He then pulled her from the car and attempted to strangle her, but the athletic girl struggled for her survival. Long took out his gun, shot her once in the back of the head, and pushed her lifeless body under a wire fence. As he drove away, Long tossed Chanel. He's not really that concerned about being caught, either.
No, he's pretty, he's taking a lot of risk.
Long tossed Chanel's clothes from his car. Her underpants landed on the fence, and her bra landed on the entrance gate to the ranch, because no one will notice them there. She was discovered on October 7th. Of 84. Later that day, Long rapes, strangles, and murders Kimberly Hopps, a 22-year-old prostitute. On October 13th, 1984, the day before his birthday, Long rapes and murders Karen Beth Drinsfriend. The victim was well known to police for her drug addiction and grand larceny problems. That evening, the victim climbed into Long's car, offering sex in exchange for the money she needed to support her drug addiction. Long then undressed, bound, and raped the woman before driving her to an orange grove where he strangled and raped her again. He paused when startled by the sound of barking dogs.
Really uncalled for. She was going to give it to him.
She was going to sell it to him.
Concerned he would be caught, he waited quietly in his car with the corpse until he felt he was safe. He then wrapped the body in a beach blanket and shoved her in the trunk of his car. He left the bound corpse in another orange grove, leaving the body underneath a tree. The next day, that body was discovered. On October 31st of 84, the mummified body of 22-year-old Kimberly Hopps was found.
He's just dumping bodies everywhere.
She had been, what?
He thinks people
can't swing a dead cat without hitting a dead
body. He just figures people think they got hit by cars.
Yeah.
Well,
happened to him enough times. It's got to be commonplace in society.
All right. Well, they found her body. See, this says the body was discovered the next day, but that's a lie. I don't know why Tim put that. On October 31st, 1984, the mummified body of 22-year-old Kimberly Hopps was found. She'd been dead for 3 weeks, but the body was preserved in a patch of mud.
Ooh.
So this guy is just on rampage.
He's going
crazy.
84 was not a good year for Florida hookers.
Yeah. So what happens next, Chuck?
I don't know, because it's not his turn.
I don't think there's a lot of years that are really good for Florida hookers. It's hot.
But they're warm. They're in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, but you're walking hot streets all the time.
Yeah. On October 3rd...
apparently it's easy to get a ride. Wow.
Every retard in the free world stopping to ask you. On November 3rd, 1984, Long kidnapped 17-year-old Lisa McVeigh. He snatched the victim by her hair as she rode home from work. She rode her bike home from work. So this girl isn't even asking for a ride or walking or anything. She's minding her business.
Yeah, she was coming down the street, and she saw him ahead of her, and she was kind of worried. You know, she kind of noticed it, and then I saw her interview her. And then he kind of pulled into a parking lot ahead of her, and then when she got up to him, he grabbed her.
At gunpoint, he forced her in his car, forced her to perform oral sex on him while he drove back to his apartment.
Now, see, that's where he crossing a line. Now, how many times you say the signs, texting and driving?
Yeah.
Do not text and drive, listeners. And do not get oral sex while you're in control of a 3,000-pound vehicle.
Shut up.
That's just dangerous.
So discourage that behavior.
I was going to say, what's wrong with him?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
That's
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Me too.
At his apartment, he continuously raped McVeigh, took her in the shower with him, and treated her like a girlfriend figure, continuously telling her that she was pretty.
Oh, he wanted the girlfriend experience.
Pretty girl.
He was paying extra, I guess.
So pretty.
I wonder if he paid extra for these prostitutes after he killed her.
GFE.
He attempted to sodomize her, but stopped when she told him that it hurt her.
Yeah.
While in the bedroom.
He's considered
a gentleman rapist.
While in the bedroom, he left the gun on the nightstand, but he eventually took the bullets out of his gun so he wouldn't feel compelled to kill her. Because he's a giver.
Yeah.
He exhibited odd behavior that had not been present before, such as blow-drying her hair, giving her a ham sandwich after realizing that she must be hungry, and telling her he wished they had met under different circumstances.
Yeah. Probably that if we met some different another place another time. Not me grabbing you off the bicycle.
Right. If you had just been on Christian Mingle and liked my profile.
Yeah, we met through a mutual friend, but
26 hours later, Long returned McVeigh to her home. He blindfolded her, instructed the victim to tell authorities that her perpetrator was black, had long greasy hair and a pockmarked face.
Oh yeah, blame it on the black guy.
On their way home, Long stopped at a bank, stepping out of the vehicle long enough for the victim to peek out of the corner of the blindfold. From this quick peek, McVeigh was able to identify the color of the car, the location of the bank, and other landmarks that would later help identify Long to police. Long dropped McVeigh off in a parking lot and gave her a kiss goodbye, telling her to take care. Give her.
I think he was falling in love with her.
Well, at about 4:30 a.m., she got home and got her father up. And they immediately went to the police. Later interviews revealed that the victim went through a period of confusion where she expressed interest in staying with Long.
Like the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On November 6, 1984, the body of 18-year-old Virginia Johnson was found dismembered in a field. The officers on the scene found a skull and upper torso dressed in a tank top, a heavy shoelace, and a piece of fabric twisted around the neck. Upon closer inspection, the officer noticed a heart-shaped pendant still around the neck. It appeared that the corpse dismemberment could be the result of the body's exposure to nature, or animals. On November 10, 1984, Long murdered 21-year-old Kimberly Swan. This victim was a nude dancer and
She was an artist.
Yes, she was. expressionist.
Yes, yes.
And a narcotics user.
Oh,
later this evening,
sounds judgmental to me.
Later this evening, she was driving while intoxicated while Long pulled his car next to hers and signaled Swan to pull over. Once pulled over, she accepted Long's offer for a ride to get a drink. They argued in the car, so instead of even bothering to rape her, he strangled her and dumped her body on the side of the highway. Some accounts cite that Long was ready to be done with the woman once she began vomiting.
That's body, a big turn.
Yeah, it's a turn off. Once someone vomits on you, you just want to put them in a taxi and send them home.
Yeah, or kill them and dump them.
Well, right. Or both.
Right. So the body of Kimberly Swan was discovered by highway construction workers 2 days later.
And that brings us to the investigation that takes place. So what happens next, Casey?
On the 15th of November in 1984, Long was pulled over for having a similar vehicle as to the one described by McVeigh. He was photographed and released when police were unable to link him due to any other verifiable evidence.
That dude, man,
he is slippery.
I've heard a lot of your podcasts have been like that, where you'll see somebody gets away 3 or 4 or 5 times. So anyway, he did not confess to the murders or rapes. He felt, though, that he had been caught. But he was relieved and then surprised that they let him go.
Yeah, he's just really lucky.
He should be surprised.
Yeah. You know, at this point, you think he'd be surprised that they ever catch him.
The police began to surveillance of him after suspecting he was in connection in some way or form with the murders. The next day, the body of 21-year-old Vicki Elliott was discovered. That murder was committed 2 months prior to his arrest. On November 16th, 1984, police decided not to wait any longer and arrested Bobby Joe Long on a warrant for abduction, kidnapping, and involuntary sexual battery of Lisa McVeigh.
Jeez.
At the time of his capture, Long was wanted by 3 jurisdictions in Tampa who collected forensic evidence, including clothing, carpet fibers,
spooge,
ligature marks, rope knots, and brandy.
Spooge.
Yeah, those red fibers, that seemed to be the thing that they was able to...
And the spooge.
Trace back to his car, and of course, spunk, they trace back to his testicles, I guess.
Yeah.
You're guessing?
I'm guessing.
You're guessing.
Well, good.
Rob, I was thinking about this.
No, you weren't.
I was thinking about
Are you
going
to say something stupid? No, because we're all on the edge of our seat waiting for you to say something stupid.
It's a movie. I was thinking about doing my first movie. And The Sperminator.
Edward Penis Hands.
The Sperminator. And it'd be like, I'll be in your crack. You know, like he says, I'll be back. I'll be in your crack.
No, I know, I got it.
Or get on your back.
You know,
something like that.
I spoke too soon when I said you was going to say something stupid.
Edward Penis Hands. You can do that one.
Ooh, that would hurt.
You'd need like 10 ladies. You had penis fans.
I could have taken care of
my
penis fingers.
I swear to God, I saw this on the news. In Japan, they have a penis festival every year. And they
My buddy's been there.
Oh, really?
Because he works for Toyota, and he goes to Japan a lot, and he was there for it. The pictures are hilarious. Yeah. Look it up, listeners. It's hilarious.
I don't know if I'd want to go to a penis festival.
It's funny.
I was the Grand Marshal.
Sounds like a sausage festival to me.
Sounds like a sword fight.
I'm the Grand Marshal at a penis festival.
Well, you are the biggest dick around.
Okay. Robert Long was arrested on November 16th, 1984, and charged with sexual battery and kidnapping of Lisa McVeigh. Long signed a formal Miranda waiver and consented to any questioning. After the detectives procured a confession for the McVeigh case, their questioning began focusing on a series of unsolved sexual batteries and homicides pending in the area. As the detectives began to question him about the murders, he replied, "I'd rather not answer that."
It's the best answer.
Wait, what was it? Don't look at me.
I'd rather not answer. By this time, he couldn't even remember.
Probably. Hell, it's been so long ago.
Maybe mother did it.
The detectives continued to interrogate him, handed him long photographs of various murder victims at this point. Long stated, "The complexion of things sure have changed since you come back into the room. I think I might need my attorney."
Yeah.
No, however,
you really need to keep one on retainer if you're into the stuff that he's doing.
However,
rape 50 people, it's good to have an attorney's number.
However, they said, "Screw you, we're not giving you an attorney." And Long eventually confessed to the 8 murders in Hillsborough County and 1 murder in Pasco County.
No more Yankee, my wanky.
Fiber evidence, evidence analysis by the FBI linked his vehicle to most of the victims. After the official interrogation began, he confessed to murdering at least 8 women. He would later be tried in another county for an additional murder. On November 18, 1984, Bobby Joe appeared before County Judge Perry Little. That's a good porn name for it.
Perry Little.
Perry Little.
Yeah. Dick Tiny.
Dick Tiny. Richard Smalls.
You know, I was thinking about one for you, Devil.
Me.
If you decide to be a porn star, you could be
decided to. There's probably
yeah. I'm sorry.
There's probably some.
If you went back to porn,
there you go.
If you was to go back to porn, though, you could be a Pope Mahanus.
Yeah. Go ahead, Casey.
On November 18th, 1984, Bobby Joe appeared in court. He was charged with 8 counts of murder and sexual battery and 9 counts of kidnapping. He was also charged with violating his probation. Well, that's the one that'll get you.
That is. Yeah. It'll get you every time.
And pretty clear cut. Shut it in your eye case there.
Yeah. On November 22nd, 1984, Artis Wick's remains were discovered. They were estimated to be 6 to 8 months old. Wick was thought to be Long's first murder victim. On November 28th, 1984, a judge ruled that a grand jury would hear Long's case, and he continued to be held in custody during that time. On December 4th, Pasco County Circuit Court judge determined that Long would stand trial for the murder of Virginia Johnson. On January 18th, 1985, a private investigator notifies police that he has a copy of a letter Long had written while in custody. And in that letter, Long detailed an escape plan, a plot to kill a girl and a suicide plan.
He's quite the planner.
Well,
he can't even cross the fucking road.
I was going to say, he might get hit by a car during the escape.
You know, that'll always throw a dent in your plans.
And your head.
Yeah. You know, damn it, I had the escape plan. I didn't see the fucking car coming.
Who knew there were cars on this road?
On roads.
On roads.
It's like people get hit by trains. It's like, I'm shocked there's a train here.
I don't think I'd be climbing fences if I was
him. He fell from a dozen of them.
Yep.
On January 21st, 1980.
Sounds like you as a kid. It does.
On January 21st, 1984, Long... And you're the one that got tipped over on her bike by a 3-legged dog.
I did.
Yeah.
He bit me.
Yeah.
He bit me.
So
you got bit by a tripod, the 3-legged dog.
Yeah, I did. I was young.
That's how slow she was.
Well,
the 3-legged dog caught her on her bike.
And then you know what happened to Casey? Yeah, first of all, that 3-legged dog was
Wait, you're deflecting. You're deflecting.
That 3-legged dog was
fast. That's typical, Brandy. She deflects.
And it bit me. But then Casey was so little, he was riding, couldn't even ride a bike. So he's like riding in one of those seats on the back of the tent.
Yeah, he's like 10 years younger than you.
And my dad like flings that bike into a yard with Casey still strapped in it.
I landed in grass, though. I landed on grass.
To get rid of this 3-legged nasty ass dog.
That is a true story, listeners.
Yeah.
On January 21st, 1984, Long is separated from other inmates and held in the infirmary area. For his physical protection. There was no cars there. In 1985, Long psychiatric evaluations
the driveway.
Began.
He escaped and made it all the way to the road.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's as far as he could go. He didn't need to be behind bars. Just put him in the middle of an intersection.
Get him in the parking lot.
Those roundabouts.
Now what am I supposed to do?
Put him on a roundabout.
Dr. John Mahoney documented that he had a temporal lobe epilepsy.
I would say
induced an altered state of consciousness.
You would have to.
Thank you. This motherfucker. I got a Baptist church on the corner up by my house, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
That bell ain't been rung as many times as this.
Dr. Robert Berlin diagnosed what?
I said Robert. I said Goulet.
Goulet. No, different Robert.
My bad.
Diagnosed along with inherited bipolar and manic depressive psychosis and an organic personality syndrome caused by tissue to the brain.
What's that like, Timmy?
Oh, it's difficult.
Yeah. I was thinking because I got the title now to Colonel. And, yeah. If I was
you gave
to go into porn, yeah. I should have another title.
All right.
But I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna go with something. It has to be dignified, right? Uh-huh. So I'm gonna go with the English one.
Dignified or dignified?
Dignified and okay. Dignified.
There you
go. So I think I shall, from now on, shall be known as Duke Schlongswinger.
No, I will not call you that.
You can just call me the Duke, but
I
officially
won't.
It's Duke Schlongswinger of Percy.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Anyway, during another evaluation, Dr. Daniel Spree determined that Long had no mental illness or disease other than severe personality disorder. And there's a big word before personality disorder that I'm not going to attempt.
Let me see that.
Well, it's partially smudged from
Let
the
Dickie
print.
Let Dickie Dangler over here take a look at it.
Oh, it's, no, there's, you get, it didn't print out
It didn't
right.
print well.
There's like five letters missing in
yeah.
the antisocial personality
yeah.
disorder.
Yeah. So it's really not that big other than the fact that it didn't print well.
Could if the producer would use a good printer here,
on
it, this shit by hand.
On April 15th, 1985, Long was found guilty in Newport, Richey.
I cannot help it. We're still using dot matrix printers.
At the trial, the Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office confronted Long with the evidence. The State Attorney and the Public Defender's Office of Hillsborough County reached a plea bargain for 8 of the homicides and the abduction and rape of Lisa McVeigh. Long pleaded guilty on September 24, 1985, to all of these crimes, receiving 26 life sentences without the possibility of parole. 24 of those are concurrent, though.
Oh, wow.
So,
that seems stupid.
Well, yeah. And 7 life.
Gives him something to look forward to.
Yeah, 24 concurrent and 2 to run consecutively.
I think he's safer behind bars for himself.
And 7 life sentences without the possibility of parole after 25 years.
Well, and I believe wasn't he there like 3 weeks?
And one life sentence to be served on I-75 right here.
Wasn't he in
it's
prison?
A short one.
He was in prison for like 3 weeks when he got ran over by the lunch car.
That's the death penalty for that son of a bitch. Put him on the street.
You know, they must give him one of those cots, you know, with no legs on him.
Don't want him rolling out of bed. You don't want him on the top bunk.
No, you don't want him on the top bunk.
God, Jesus.
In addition to the 8 murders Long confessed to committing, the state of Florida retained the option to seek the death penalty for the murder of Michelle Sims, which that's the one where they'll put him on the street. In July of 1986, the penalty phase of the Michelle Sims trial was held in Tampa. It lasted 1 week and again received extensive media attention. Long was found guilty and sentenced to die in Florida's electric chair. Guess it would have just been inhumane to put him on the street. On the 24th of February, 1999, Long accused the Capitol Collateral Regional Council, the state office defending death row inmates, in their appeals of revealing his private letters to a book's author, thus violating his attorney-client privileges.
So he sues him, right?
Yeah. He also accused the agency of running a quote-unquote death pool, betting on the date inmates would be executed,
well, fuck yeah.
And asked the agency
that's a perk of the job.
To be removed from the case. An investigation concluded that all of these allegations were unfounded. Long's petition for a writ of mandamus to require Bob Dillinger, the public defender for the 6th Judicial Circuit, to relinquish possession and control of his file in the state v. Long was denied. According to the Federal Department of Corrections, Long is in process of serving 1 5-year sentence, 4 99-year sentences, 28 life sentences, and 1 death row sentence. Bobby Joe Long remains on Florida's death row to this day.
So, if you wanted to send him a letter,
a helmet,
a helmet. You could probably do so.
Some bubble wrap.
Something.
Helmet might be needed.
Y'all.
Y'all.
Yeah. Send it down for y'all.
Okay, so Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Bobby Joe Long? That might be a good porn name itself. Hmm? Colonel Long.
Dick Joe Long. Dick Joe Long.
Yeah.
Brandy, your final thoughts.
My Asian name is Won Hung Lo.
Of course it is. I don't know. I got nothing.
Final thoughts on Bobby Joe Long? Did you like him?
I did not. I was not a fan of Bobby Joe Long. The fact that he kept running into shit with his head was very amusing, though.
Yeah, but you didn't.
That's good stuff. Right. But I felt no kindred spirit with him.
All right. Colonel, your final thoughts on serial rapist and serial killer Bobby Joe Long.
Well, I think the masturbating five times a day, he's just a slacker. What would you say, Casey?
That's low. That's the low end of the totem pole.
That's a lack of motivation.
Yeah.
The son of a bitch shower? What's he doing?
He's probably got a tube sock nearby.
Stands up on its own.
Yeah.
In the corner.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still masturbating five times a day.
Oh, I bet.
How'd you like to beat up?
I guess if you're on a death row. No, you probably don't have a roommate on death row. But you probably, if you're on death row, you might as well masturbate, right?
What else you got to do?
Well, pretty much, if you're anywhere, you might as well masturbate. I mean, if you had Taco Bell.
I've done it three times during this podcast. Yeah. I'm just sitting there.
You're a Taco Bell.
You're on Taco Bell.
I got a little something on my ear, Casey.
The spicy burrito is getting going.
Okay, Casey, your final thoughts on serial killer Bobby Joe Long.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you learn in kindergarten how to cross the street. So the fact that this son of a bitch.
He must have missed that class. Maybe it's failed. He failed first grade twice. He
might have got it in 10th grade. That's when they were teaching it.
Maybe. Yeah, he had problems, didn't he? He had a lot of problems. All right, so.
But you know, he never had a car accident.
He had a
motorcycle accident. Of course, he was trying to choke somebody at the time.
He was getting a blowjob, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So. He's probably masturbating all those times he got hit by a car.
Walking across the street.
Well, yeah, you gotta be. You gotta look both ways. You gotta look both ways when you cross the intersection. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages on Facebook. We have the History Dweebs, regular History Dweebs page, and then we have the History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group that you can join. And we have a lot of fun on there, so join us if you can.
iTunes.
And we're looking for a Colonel porn name.
Yeah, we're looking for a Colonel porn name, so throw out your suggestions. We can be found on iTunes, and if you find us on iTunes or listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. And where else can they find us, Colonel?
Not on YouTube.
Not on YouTube, right.
Well, we were just, anybody that's in Cincinnati, you know, we threw out the first pitch for the opening day game yesterday.
We did not do that.
Yeah, we weren't there.
I imagine that?
Yes.
Okay.
But we can be found on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
HistoryDweebs1, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have anything else. You guys got anything? Casey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a good time.
Glad you could join us, and I hope you can join us again soon. And until then, we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.